Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Dr. Craig Martin. You're listening to The Inside Connection on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here, as always, with my lovely co-host, Christina Martin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here. We're hitting the end of summer. Well, not the end, but mid-part, I'd say. It's starting to get a little darker, a little faster, a little earlier. I'm noticing that.
It's getting a little dark, a little earlier, but those of you who know, we're live from Los Angeles, and we are going to be roasting by Friday and Saturday. So, yes, we're in the shortening hours of daylight, but we are in the buildup of Southern California's heat. So that's a perfect segue into the show topic tonight, which is that Mars is square Pluto. And Mars is also, of course, square Saturn and Jupiter. And it in Aries, and the fact that it's going to go retrograde in Aries, it's making a very tense square angle because Aries and Capricorn are square to each other. So when we look up in the sky, when we can see the stars, and again, for those of you who are out in the evening, you can see a beautiful Jupiter and Saturn. That's a beautiful Jupiter and Saturn right next to each other all night long. Those two bright stars, when you look south, moving across the southern sky all evening long. So anyway, Mars is in Aries, and it's square that conjunction, meaning it's making an exact 90 degree angle. And in this past week, it made a 90 degree angle to Pluto. Customarily, it's a very tense, angry, aggressive, particularly volatile combination of planets.
Yeah, really rough, because you have Mars, the ram, the one who wants to run through the field and get those creative urges out there, coming up against something that's a little bit more dark, a little bit more powerful. So they're definitely two power signs or power planets.
They are in power signs because Mars rules Aries. So it's in its ruling energy, right? So when you think of why does Mars rule Aries, it's because rams will buck their heads until they make themselves unconscious. I mean, it's a very strong, willful sign, and it's a very willful energy. And the planet Mars is, of course, the god of war. So Mars is connected to warring energy. And, you know, we certainly hope that it isn't going to lead to a literal war. But that possibility is certainly always on the table as we move through the autumn of this year. I think this is the first pass. And we know that Mars is going to be going retrograde in September. So we are going to have a second and third pass of Mars making aspect to Saturn and Pluto. And during this first pass, I'd love to get your take on that. You know, just sort of, I feel like it's like the loading phase, you know, like it's like the preparations, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're going to war, and figuratively, I suppose we are, because there's a U.S. election and we're so polarized, it feels like that kind of tension. So if this is the loading phase, I'd love to get your take on what are we really preparing for? What in the Mars Pluto alignment, and you know, astrology reflects reality, not so much necessarily the other way around.
I
believe that. I believe that the planets are a mirror of human intention. They're not the cause. I never blame a transit for anything that's happened in my life. The transit is just the mirror of what's going on for me at any particular time. So how do you feel about the three phases, particularly the first one, since that's the one we're in right now, between now and the second week of September?
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, I feel like, you know, maybe it's going to be that idea that we are supposed to be out of this by now. That type of anger and upset, you know, we're now have some distance away from when COVID started, and we've seen a lot of other countries and how other people have handled it. So I know I can feel some anger with that. You know, why didn't we just do this? Why didn't we just do that? So there's that like ego kind of going up against the, you know, the higher powers or, you know, the Plutonian stronger, I mean, with Pluto, you can't even really, if you try to fight something that's Plutonian, it just is not going to work out for you. It's just something that's stronger than you. So
yeah, but the idea of the Grim Reaper, you know, like it carries the weight of death on its shoulders, you know, its function is to cause change, right? Mm-hmm. Its function is to cause change. What I see is also the idea, and you were talking about it a little, is the idea that Aries represents the individual, mm-hmm. and Capricorn represents the authority figure, the mm-hmm. you know, the institution that governs power, right? That's why
yes.
Capricorn is very patriarchal and powerful.
Yeah,
so here we have
structure.
Mars. Here we have Mars in Aries empowering the individual. And I think mm-hmm. it goes both ways. We can talk about it in both directions, right? We can talk about how the individuals on the right feel like the institutional left is making them wear masks, and that's making them angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. My individual freedoms.
But the institutional right is telling us that we don't need to wear masks, and that's making the individual left feel angry. And when we look at that in terms of, say, Black Lives Matter, it's the institutional right feeling like they can do what they want, whatever, with their justice system and the police force, and the individual left, right, the individuals that are affected by it, feeling like they need to become more angry. So it's happening in both directions, because there is institutional power on both sides.
Right, of course.
Right?
Of course.
Well, there is, right? I mean, none of us at all would be wearing masks. If the present federal government had anything to say about it,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the only reason that, like, the California school kids are not going back to school is because we have an institutionalized left in California.
Yeah, our
right?
states, right.
Exactly. So I think on both sides, there's a recipe for a lot of anger over what's perceived as authority figures that are telling people what to do that they don't want to do. It's in
yes.
both directions. So this is the nature of the tension, is the anger and volatility and aggressiveness of Mars connected to its own natal sign, Aries. It's giving Mars a lot of firepower. And
yes.
Pluto is operating now in institutionalized power, Capricorn.
Right.
So its capacity to cause a lot of, you know, well, you see it, right? The person who doesn't wear the mask, he either breaks the arm of the girl that's working at the Walmart, you know, because she says, put
mm-hmm.
a mask on. That's very Mars in Aries.
Yes.
That's a very Mars in Aries energy. But
yeah.
likewise, people motivated to loot businesses
mm-hmm.
it because they feel oppressed by the institutional right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In other words, the institutional
right,
left, we're oppressing you with our masks, the institutional right, you're oppressing us with your unfair justice system to racial minorities. And so we're also angry. And we're not going to break the arm of the Walmart girl, but we're going to, you know, vandalize
the store. Exactly.
And that's the global level. And we're about to move into a season of that, a whole season of it. And, you know, it may or may not be incredibly dramatic. We'll see. I mean, I think a lot of people are expecting it to be fairly dramatic. There, you
right.
know, by the way, I'm happy also to talk with you tonight about Kamala Harris's chart. Because I think she's an interesting person to bring into the conversation since she was in the news this week, prominently in the news. And we can, of course, always talk about Joe Biden as we get closer to the election, but what things in Kamala's chart bring her closer to one step closer to the Oval Office.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
So that's exciting for her. So that's the more global political social thing. But Mars square Pluto in our own personal charts,
mm-hmm.
thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some thoughts? You're tossing it back to me?
Yeah, no, I'm not. No, I definitely have thoughts. I mean,
good.
Our it seems like our personal wills have been crushed now for a while. They've been just limited. You know, we had Saturn was the acting planet for COVID, and that is the oppression, the limitation, all of that going on. So stuck in your home, not able to travel, just a lot of hunkering down. And at one point, the furies are going to come out, and the longer it's held down, the more it is. So personal charts is very interesting. If you take a look at your own, where in your chart do you have Aries? Where do you have that willful energy? What part or arena of your life do you
Great.
Just got to get that creative juices going?
Correct. And for the listeners who need more clarification for that, your chart is based on a time of day. And so your houses in the chart that have 12 houses, and one of the houses is going to be Aries. So even if we're not in Aries, and even if we don't have any planets in Aries in our chart, all of us is capable of having Aries energy. We all have a will, and we all have a direction in life that we want to bring our Mars to. We all feel motivated, so we all have a Mars to do something, and we all have an Aries energy, the personal vision and will. So finding that out can be very enlightening, and we can see, talking about that Kamala Harris has the moon in Aries, and she has moon in Aries in the 11th house, which is interesting. She certainly is probably friends with a lot of powerful women. I would imagine that she is. And the 11th house is the house of friendship and community and colleagues and social groups. And her having moon in Aries there makes her altruistic in some ways, legitimately altruistic. But it also does give her, when they say Kamala Harris is a fighter, that's where that comes from, comes from her having moon in Aries, because they like making happen what they visualize. They nothing really stands in their way. They don't like taking no for an answer.
Yeah, which is an interesting recipe for a politician, for sure, and especially a woman of color politician. I know she's known as getting things done. That's part of her. Legacy is somebody who has tackled some things that are really important. I know there's some things with the police, and she was one of, a top head in California. So
she was, and then she just moved straight into that senatorial role. And she does look rather charismatic in that way, like her charismatic rise to power. Fascinatingly, she is a Libra with several planets in Virgo, including her Venus. But she also has a couple of planets in Scorpio, including her Mercury, which makes her very sharp-minded. And that's her ruling planet because she has Gemini rising. But just make a note of the fact that her ruling planet is in Mercury, is Mercury in Scorpio. And her Venus is conjunct Pluto, which gives this incredible plutonic, scorpionic energy to her femininity. And, Joe Biden is a Scorpio. So
mm-hmm.
I would think that the two of them, Kamala Harris, now that she's in this situation of really running for office, right? She's been thrown. Joe Biden's really been running for office since last summer. And Kamala Harris didn't know she was going to be running on a presidential ticket. So it's pretty fascinating.
It's very fascinating. Well, and Joe Biden actually was running since like 88. That's when I read he actually ran.
Yeah.
He was on the ticket for a very long time. So
yeah,
he's definitely the oldie here and she's the newbie. But that I like all that Scorpio. It gives a lot of depth her.
Look, she's got a grand trine in air in the middle of the chart and a kite formation with the peak of the kite pointed towards the moon. So that moon in Aries is supposed to enact her individual will and her individual power in as far as how far she's supposed to be able to go. And she doesn't necessarily have the strong charismatic charm of an Alejandro Ocasio-Cortez. Who's sort of, but by the same token, Kamala Harris is not as frightening to the general population, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
because she's got two Pisces at the midheaven, so her like most public persona or what we think of her is a little bit maybe softer or a little bit more empathetic, or I mean. That moon and
softer, but the ruling planet of the midheaven is Mercury, is Neptune in Scorpio in the fifth house, which is, for the listeners, the ruling planet of her personal reputation and public appearances is in the house of Leo. So
mm-hmm.
There's even more fire in her chart and a desire to accomplish things. It reminds me of certain charts that have this strong fifth house. Her ruling planet is in the fifth. Just a very strong need to be seen and take on a leadership role, which doesn't come easily necessarily to that Scorpio energy, but may come more easily to Libra. So her grand trine in air, everybody, she's got planets in, she has Gemini rising, she has Saturn in Aquarius, and she has the sun in Libra. That's all three air signs in her chart, and it makes her excel at communication, diplomacy, words, language, friendship, commitment, camaraderie, colleagueship,
yes,
compromise,
yeah.
intellect. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So having a grand trine in air gives her the full range of what's available from the realm of the mind and the realm of communication. And that's amazing. I would say that her Mars in Leo is a certain setback for her a bit, because it is part of a T-square that she has in her chart with Neptune. It's a little wide. It's a little wide, meaning that the angle is a little wide, meaning it's a little weaker, which is good. We're glad that she doesn't have that. But
yeah,
this Neptune square Mars is a little dicey, because if they get into office, they're going to have some issues of betrayal inside their own, working environment because of how transiting Uranus is going to activate that T-square. So we'll look out for that, and we'll keep Kamala aware of all of that.
We'll give her a call from her local astrologers
send her a link to the Inside Connection, and she can she can just listen to it in the privacy of her own Oval Office wing. So,
yes. That Mars and Leo is interesting.
She's going to project that onto the men in her life, you know?
Yeah.
She's definitely going to project that onto the men in her life, right? Her Mars is conjunct Donald Trump's Mars. So they both have that strong, but she's such a smart, smart person. And that's evidence in that grand trine in air.
Mm-hmm.
What puts her interestingly on the top at this time could very well be Saturn and the Saturn squaring her moon and Saturn squaring, you know, her sun. And even though that would have created difficulties in the process, once overcome and once you succumb, once you surrender to the focus and discipline that Saturn demands, you can achieve anything out of a Saturn square. It's a very powerful energy even by square, because it's saying, shed this, move this way, discipline yourself in this way, focus on this, and then you get the prize.
Beautiful. You know,
Saturn squares are still incredibly powerful at getting rid of the dross.
The dross?
Yeah.
The dross.
It's a good word. The weeds. But it's more like the seaweed that clings to you when you come out of the ocean.
Ah, that's a good metaphor. Yeah, right. Disgusting. Get it out. You can swim faster without it.
It's heavy. It's heavy and it's wet and it's just collecting dust.
Yeah. I do really like her that she has Saturn in Aquarius, because I feel like that is what we're going into at the end of this year. Saturn's. I mean, we already had that. You know, Saturn jumped
Christina, if they win, that Saturn in Aquarius could very well mean that she becomes president at the time of her Saturn return.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. Interesting to think about, to ponder, because to me, we're about to go into a couple years of having Saturn in Aquarius, so it's going to be lessons for all of us on community.
That doesn't mean that Joe Biden. That doesn't mean necessarily mean that Joe Biden has to die. It can mean that Joe Biden just steps down. It's just like, you know what? I'm setting this up for all of you. Thank God we won. I'm handing it all over to Kamala. She's amazing. I'm stepping down. I love you all. Thanks for the couple of good years, and I'm riding off into the sunset to go be with my wife.
Yes, at 80 years old. Yeah. That is a very big possibility, especially because Kamala is young, on the young side too.
Then,
yeah,
on a second note, her Saturn return is also consistent with the 2023 election.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah. Well, the election's in 2024, right? So 2023 meaning the campaign, and then going into the election of 2024. So, yes. Saturn is in Pisces, conjunct her midheaven in 2024. So that's some big change, because she's certainly going to create a career peak between now and 2024. And then it says that this is not the end for her, that, you know, she has a career peak in 2024. And,
people that can't see her chart, we're talking about Saturn, but Saturn is basically right on her career peak point.
Correct.
So that speaks to, you know, kind of going either way, either a large fall from the top or a final victory dance at the tippy top of a mountain.
Seems unlikely, although there are other things going on at that time, including Pluto squaring her sun and squaring her moon. That's a lot. And Kamala does have a really big year in 2023. You know, that look again, that Pluto square the sun, Pluto square the moon could basically just represent a significant death in her environment.
A loss or a purging of some sort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go back a little bit with the few minutes that we have left back to the Mars square Pluto topic. Just look again at this first stage of it. So we have three basic stages of Mars square Pluto, this direct stage, then Mars will go retrograde for most of September, October, and the first half of November. That will actually be the second stage. And then the third stage is going to be November and December and a little bit of January when Mars goes direct. It's a lot. It's a lot. We're only in August and we're talking about 6 months of a really heavy Mars. Clearly, it has something to do with the election. Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't
tension
resolve.
Built.
It doesn't resolve until the inauguration.
Right. Oh my gosh,
and,
yeah.
And so for the United States, I know the globe's going to go through this alignment. It's not just a U.S.-based thing, but
correct.
Of course the globe is going to go through the presidential election. There's no way for citizens of the entire earth to not be affected by what we decide in November. So
yeah.
I see this first stage as the opening salvos, right? It's going to be both conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So what aggressive tone do they both take? Kamala Harris as a prosecutor is definitely going to be bringing about the illegalities of the Trump campaign and the illegalities of the Trump White House. And she'll be hammering that message home, I'm sure. Joe Biden really wants to sort of bring us together and talk about values and integrity and these kinds of things. And I think that's what we've really ended up with, is we've ended up with an election between differing ideas of decency and integrity. And not to say that the Democrats are flawless, because certainly they're not. But there is a stark contrast between the present Republican Party and the present Democratic Party. I think in the past, the Republicans, they had a stronger sense. Now, because Trump's in office, it's whatever goes, you know, just please him. And however he acts, the people don't seem to care. So, we don't care either. And it's actually taken them down a moral notch. I think in the eyes of a large portion of the electorate. So, first stage is the opening salvos. What are going to be the opening shots that are going to be sort of fired from both sides? I mean, Trump, of course, is now questioning Biden's mental
health.
Acuity, right?
Yeah.
And he's also questioning Joe Biden's religious beliefs, which is very interesting. He's trying to make him out to be an amoral, and mentally incompetent old fool, which is very funny coming from Trump. So, on both accounts there, and maybe the show will get a little more political as we get closer to November. But I'd like to give a fair shake to both sides. God help us. I wanted to look at with you at the fall 2020, and we definitely have a new moon coming up. Not so far. I don't even think it's a week from now,
right.
Because I saw the amazing crescent moon today during the day.
Oh,
the sky was very blue, and I was able to see that crescent moon. And I said to my son, "Look, the moon is approaching the sun." You know, and you could just feel that another cycle is about to start. And that's going to be the new moon in is it Leo?
Yeah, it is Leo, and it's I think we're gonna do our next show is on it. It's on Wednesday, the 19th. I'm pretty sure.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's on Wednesday, the 19th. So our next show is going to be on that new moon energy, new moon in Leo, interestingly, that new moon is conjunct Trump's ascendant. So it's going to activate Donald Trump's personality in a very dramatic, kingly, authoritative fashion. So we can expect to see a little bit of that. And there'll be more about that next week when you guys join us again. I want to thank you always for being with me, Christina. It's such a joy and a delight to have a conversation with you about astrology.
I agree. It's so much fun. And again, if anybody wants to call in, we have so much fun on this show. We love people bringing people in.
Call in. Find us at sageofstars.com, Sage of Stars on Twitter and Facebook. We love your feedback. We love your comments. We love to hear from you. And other than that, we hope you have a beautiful evening. We'll be here next Wednesday at 6:00 p.m. Pacific for the conversation of the new moon in Leo. Everybody have a beautiful night. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Good night.